believe that the only people that were saved were Christians that were baptized disciples. And these are the people that we needed to build the church with. Now, at that particular time, the primary name that we called ourselves was Christian. I got into the Bible and said, you know something? The word disciple appears 270 times. The primary name we should be calling ourselves is disciples of Jesus Christ.
This is Apologetics Profile, a podcast equipping you to defend your faith. Here's your host, staff apologist Daniel Ray.
The individual you heard at the opening of the broadcast is Kip McKean, the passionate, charismatic, but controversial founder of the International Christian Church, or ICC. Despite what may appear as sound doctrine, there are a number of unbiblical doctrines and practices within the ICC. Kip's rise to prominence began in 1972 when Kip was a freshman at the University of Florida at Gainesville and met Chuck Lucas, who was a campus minister and staff member at Crossroads Church of Christ, formerly 14th Street Church of Christ. Kip was captivated by the message, was soon baptized, and from that moment, he set off on a path that would include many people following him and his unique theology. In 1979, Kip made a name for himself when he moved to the Boston area and began working at the Lexington Church of Christ. It was while he was there that he demanded the members to, quote, redefine their commitment to Christ, end quote. It was then he began to further develop the structure and work of a discipler. Kip added to what he had learned in Florida, emphasizing the relationship between the disciple and the discipler. It was imperative, under McKean, that the disciple and the discipler speak daily. It is in these meetings where the disciple consults with their discipler about major and minor life decisions. With this emphasis, the church took off. They changed the name of the church to the Boston Church of Christ. The church growth was exceptional, so much so that they began to have services in the Boston Garden Arena. Kip would eventually rename the church to the International Churches of Christ, ICOC for short, and expanded the church's reach into a worldwide denomination, free from the mainstream Church of Christ. Much of the growth came from college-age students. The ICOC became known on university campuses for their aggressive outreach techniques. This behavior caused the group to be kicked off numerous college campuses. The Hoya, Georgetown University's oldest and largest student newspaper, focused on the group's aggressive recruitment tactics and chronicled their expulsion from the Georgetown campus. The Washingtonian, in 2008, told the long and painful story of the power and hold the ICOC has on its members, recounting the story of Jenny Hunters from joining the church her senior year to her eventual departure. In 2002, Kip McKean resigned from the ICOC following criticisms of his personal character and leadership style. Shortly after leaving the ICOC, Kip started the International Christian Church, ICC for short. In 2006, under the leadership and direction of McKean, the ICC movement began to gain significant momentum.
So that brings us to 2006 and the sold-out movement. Amen, guys? This is sometimes called the Portland movement because this is where we were at when things started to come together. People started to come from all over the United States to join us because we still had a vision to evangelize the world. We still believe that in order to be a part of the church, you had to be a sold-out disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, bottom line, we believed in discipling, we believed in starting new churches, and with these convictions, we were disfellowshipped from the ICOC. And so in 2006, God made us into his new movement. Are you with me right here? And so today, we do believe in essential leadership, we do believe in orchestrated churches, and we do believe in the evangelization of the nations in a generation.
But what does McKean mean by being, quote, a sold-out disciple of Jesus Christ, end quote? What exactly is implied by his reference to, quote, central leadership, end quote? On our two-part episode about McKean and the International Christian Church, we examine the beliefs, doctrines, and practices of the ICC and how they depart from traditional Christian doctrines. Here is Watchman senior apologist Brady Blevins.
Man, we got a great one for you today. I have with me one of my favorite profile writers, Steve Matthews. Steve's written a couple of profiles for us over the past couple of years, namely Burning Man and another one on the World Mission Society Church of God. And we actually have a few more in the works that he's going to do. But the reason why Steve is one of my favorite writers is because he doesn't just research secondhand information. He doesn't just get on the internet and see what other people have said about a group, and then he uses that as his research to be able to talk about a specific group. No, that's not Steve at all. Steve does what all of us as apologists should be doing, and that's he goes directly to the source, and he has heard directly from the group that we're going to talk about today. In fact, it would be it's not just hyperbole to say that he has spent tons of hours in Bible studies and spending time with the members of the group, International Christian Church, also known as ICC. So Steve has spent a ton of time with them, and he's going to share what he has learned about them, and he is also going to tell us the reason why we might just be concerned about what ICC is teaching. So, Steve, it's great to have you with us today. I am so excited to be able to have this conversation with you and get to learn a little bit more about ICC.
Hey, Brady, I'm glad to be here. This is going to be an interesting talk today because in addressing the topic, we're going to be covering a number of topics, including the biblical doctrine of discipleship, the connection between baptism and salvation, and how much control a church should really have over the lives of those attended.
All right, man. Well, that sounds exciting to me. So, Steve, let's just jump right in. I want to ask you, okay, what is the International Christian Church and who is Kip McKean?
Well, the International Christian Church, we'll call them the ICC for short, is a controversial group that came out of the Boston Church of Christ, which later became the International Churches of Christ. We're going to refer to them as the ICOC. And these churches were founded by Kip McKean, who is the World Missions Evangelist of the ICC. And other names of the group have been the Boston Movement, Multiplying Ministries, the Crossroads Movement, and the ICC also goes by the name the Sold Out Discipling Movement, or sometimes just call themselves the Movement. They were an extremely controversial group, especially around the 1990s, in the media, in the secular and counter-cult, you know, organizations, family organizations. And they, for those who came out of the cults, you know, so many people were counseled because it really messed up a lot of these people's lives, and they caused a lot of division also in the body of Christ.
So, first of all, that sounds extremely confusing that they have so many names, and I think that there might be a reason behind that, but I want to hold that question off for just a few more minutes. Tell me, though, how does ICC fit into the classification of being a cult?
In the Watchman Fellowship profiles, we look at the cults and new religious movements. There are two different ways of looking at the subject. Those in the secular world tend only to look at groups in terms of the psychological and sociological impact and they make on the family and individuals, and not so much on what they believe. In fact, they don't really even care. While Christians tend mainly to focus on what they believe. So some groups become classified as cults based on their behavior dynamics, while others because of their belief systems. And on most issues, the ICOC and the ICC both are very orthodox in what they believe. Unlike members of a lot of controversial groups that are covered in the Watchman Profile series, like the Mormons, the Baha'i Faith, or the World Mission Society Church of God, these guys could easily recite the Apostles' Creed, where those in the other groups couldn't. And, you know, both of these groups started by McKean. They believe in the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the personality of the Holy Spirit, the sinfulness of man, the bodily resurrection of Christ, and his glorious future second coming. But they've got some serious errors in regard to a few important areas that we're looking at. And compared to a number of groups, you know, that have been accused of exploitation, control of people's lives, you know, very few have ever done anything like the Boston Movement. Of course, their members would disagree that they're being controlled, because when someone's controlled, they don't know they're being controlled, just like when people are being deceived, they don't know they're being deceived.
Exactly. This group, they're really kind of sneaky in a different way, because they actually hold to some of the orthodox Christian beliefs. It's just in some other areas, we see that they not only do they depart from orthodoxy, but they actually do some things that are pretty dangerous. Now, I hear that in part of Kip McKean's, I guess, background is in the Church of Christ, which is part of the Restoration Movement. Can you tell our listeners what is the Restoration Movement, and how do the ICC roots go back to it?
Well, the Restoration Movement is a movement that was started in the 1800s in America and is what became the Church of Christ movement, the mainline Church of Christ movement, also Disciples of Christ and the Christian Church, the independent Christian churches. And that's where Kip has drawn a lot of his influence. You can't underestimate how much influence his background in the Restoration Movement has had on this group. They claim to be a whole new Restoration Movement again. So the ICC and the ICOC groups, along with other groups like Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Seventh-day Adventists, Herbert W. Armstrong, the Christadelphians, the World Mission Society Church of God, and others, believe that soon after the early church was established, it fell away, then disappeared until their leader came along and had to restore the truth that had been lost to the earth. And when you buy into this idea, you have to look up to your leaders. A divinely led leader can't be questioned. And for us, it's okay for us to believe in a reformation, but definitely not a restoration. That's going a little too far.
Gotcha. Well, explain a little bit more about who the ICC, who are they?
Well, most members of the ICC are in their 20s, and this is because they're mainly a campus ministry. They're all about evangelism. They send members all around the world to plant churches. They try to operate in every campus in areas where they have churches, and they'll approach you, invite you to a Bible talk. Then they'll take you through a series of lessons from a booklet called First Principles, designed to show you that you need to become a disciple and join their church. And it's also designed to undermine your existing Christian faith and to teach you that you've been taught incorrectly by your church and that theirs is the only true church. The series of lessons you study with the ICC are very similar in purpose to what the Mormon missionaries do in their missionary lessons. Mm-hmm. They go over a few things in the lessons, but the big two that they want you to understand is their idea of being a disciple and about baptism. For members of the ICC and the ICOC and the mainline churches of Christ, you got to be baptized, water baptized by immersion to have your sins forgiven. You go under the water as a non-Christian, and you come up as a Christian. To them, denominational believers don't have a valid baptism. That's what they call it, a valid baptism. So they would have to be rebaptized for remission of sins. And since they're the only true church, you got to be baptized by them. So one of the first things that you learn in First Principles is that the proper word for a follower of Jesus is a disciple and not a Christian, as the denominational world calls them. The word Christian is used only 3 times in the New Testament, they point out. The disciple is used over 270 times. And after the student on the campus has started studying with ICC disciple, he's invited to a Sunday morning church service where he's immediately welcomed into a genuinely, lovingly accepting and racially diverse group of people. Love bombing is when you come into a group and everyone just gives you so much attention. You get hugged by everyone. Everybody laughs a little too much at all of your jokes. People there will ask for your phone number the first few minutes after meeting him, and so on.
It almost reminds me a little bit of, like, you know, the Jehovah's Witness that knocks on your door and says, you know, what you've been taught is actually not true about Jesus. In fact, if we look in the original Greek, you'll see that Jesus is not the God, but he's a God. And see, this is just a misinterpretation. It sounds a little bit like that, you know, that, hey, what you've been taught isn't actually completely the truth. Now, you may have been taught some true things, but it's not completely true. Is that a fair way of thinking of it, or how would you put that?
Yeah, and they have a huge issue with mainstream Christianity, which talks about praying Jesus into your heart, which they feel ignores the biblical call to true discipleship and the need to be baptized, a requirement for salvation. Mm-hmm. They see how so many denominational Christians are carnal, living with their girlfriends or constantly using profanity or addicted to pornography, and they're turned off and they see this as fake Christianity. In the discipleship study in the First Principles, they quote Luke 14:33, where Jesus says, in the same way that those of you who do not give up everything cannot be my disciples. Kip is now in his 60s. He's still very charismatic and likable as a powerful preacher who calls for a no-nonsense commitment from the disciples. And both the ICC and the ISOC have been criticized for being arranged with the structure with the pyramid, with Kip sitting at the top of that pyramid. And he calls upon his members to be totally committed and sold out to God, holding nothing back, living complete obedience to the Bible. The ICOC, they used to talk about total commitment. The ICC talk about being the sold out discipling movement. We have to be sold out for Jesus, holding nothing back. And everything is intense and hard line in the ICC. The preaching is hard line. The commitment is hard line. The giving is hard line. The evangelism efforts are hard line. The friendliness and loving on each other is hard line. The singing, it's a very intense group. And this is why a lot of people burn out from being in there. If someone leaves there, they will often just say you're weak and uncommitted, but not everyone could stand up under that constant pressure.
That's exactly what I was thinking as you were talking about. I was like, boy, that sounds like a really hard life to live. I mean, it's just, you almost get tired just thinking about it. You can kind of see, though, how the ICC disciples, they view us, and quite frankly, some of their assessments, unfortunately, are not inaccurate. I mean, we do embody those things. Of course, I would dare say that they embody some of those things too. Whether they want to fess up to it or not, you might could go a stretch of, a little bit of time where you can do better with that. But what really interests me though is how did the ICC get started?
Well, in the Watchman profile on the ICC, we say that the ICC is an offshoot of an offshoot, an offshoot, an offshoot, meaning that the ICC came out from the International Christian Church, came out from the International Church of the Christ, which came out from the Crossroads Movement, which came out from the Mainline Church of Christ, which came out of Protestant Christianity. And they experienced explosive growth first in Boston, then other parts of the U.S., then around the world. And Kip was famous for coming into a church with 30 people, which had no growth for years and quickly turning into a thriving congregation of hundreds of people. And then the church would send out missionaries around the world. They target young people, like we said, especially on college campuses and those in their 20s. They demand that complete commitment. And they're very active on a number of campuses, and they'd be kicked off like dozens and dozens of campuses over the years, just like the World Mission Society, Church of God. These would be the two groups right now who are super active on campuses, and the groups have both been kicked off campuses. But there's a lot to cover in history, so we'll rattle through pretty quick. The story of the ICC, like I said, starts back with Kip. And Kip was baptized while attending the College of the University of Florida in Gainesville in 1972, what would become the Crossroads Church of Christ. He was discipled by Chuck Lucas, who was the pastor there, the evangelist, they'd call him, and he implemented a controversial discipling program to his campus outreach. Kip himself felt a call to ministry, so he moved to Lexington, Massachusetts in 79, took on a position at the Lexington Church of Christ, which automatically started growing, and he brought Chuck Lucas's concept of discipleship there. That church started to grow quickly, and they sent out mission teams all around the world, around the country, and the Boston movement became very controversial, got picked up by the media, and allegations of mind control and exploitation skyrocketed. In 1990, the McKeens moved to Los Angeles and started the Los Angeles Church of Christ. And in 93, they split from the Mainline Churches of Christ and they changed their name to the International Churches of Christ. In 2003, a bombshell hit when an evangelist out of London by the name of Henry Crete released a letter that critiqued a lot of the practices inside the church. And it got out on the internet to a lot of the other churches throughout the whole ICC world, and it caused a huge division. The ICOC world caused a huge division where a lot of people left. And shortly after that, Kip was actually removed from the ICOC. The McKeens moved to Portland, and then Kip started trying to call disciples out from the ICOC at that point. So under Kip's leadership, the Portland International Church of Christ now became the International Christian Church, and that was announced in 06. So by 2007, McKean's took 40 disciples, moved to LA, planted the City of Angels International Christian Church, and from there on, we have what we have today.
Wow, that's quite the history. Thinking about how, basically 50 years ago, it started on a college campus in Gainesville, Florida, is now found its way to Los Angeles and
around the world.
And places around the world. The one thing that really sticks in my mind is that separation between the view of the ICC and basically everybody else. So I see them that they see themselves as the only true church.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's an example. In the foreword to Ron Harding, he's a lead evangelist at the Atlanta's ICC church. He wrote a book called The Chronicles of Modern Day Christianity. Tim Kernan, he's the number two man in the church. He's a world sector leader. He's a right-hand man at Kip. He wrote an introduction, and he said, one of the most shocking facts about Christianity is that the very way to become a Christian was lost for the greater part of 1,500 years. For generations, the simple but powerful truths of how to become a Christian had been carefully hidden and confused by Satan. So it seems despite Matthew 16:18, where Jesus promised the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, Kip had to come along and restore the true gospel to the earth that had been lost. So one other thing is interesting is that inside the, we all know that the Church of Christ, the mainline Church of Christ, believes baptism is necessary for salvation. Well, there's a tradition within the mainline Churches of Christ called the Megarites, kind of popularized by Austin Megari, where they teach that it's not enough to be baptized for remission of sins. You got to know that while you're being baptized, that baptism is required for your salvation. If you're just being baptized without understanding the purpose of the baptism, that it plays a role in your forgiveness, then that's also an invalid baptism. So I'm going to give you one more quote here. Kip wrote while still in the Boston movement, he said, in Boston on the evening of June 1st, 1979, 30 would-be disciples gathered in the living room of Bob and Pat Gemple, unknown to all but the Holy Spirit, that night had been destined as the beginning of God's modern-day movement. We came together bonded by the common beliefs of the Bible, was the inspired and inerrant word of God, and that the true believer would wholeheartedly obey every word. Over the ensuing months, the Holy Spirit took away our doctrinal blindness, which was created by centuries of Catholic and Protestant denominational traditions, and revealed two radical revolutionary doctrines of the first century church. First of all, a true Christian is a person who makes the decision to become a disciple and then is baptized for remission of sins. Secondly, the true church is composed of only baptized disciples and remain faithful. So you see right here, they claim to be the only true church led by the Spirit and the importance of baptism and discipleship.
It seems like that they can really play on with people. I'm just thinking of, you know, just, you know, your regular Christ follower. They can really kind of play on stuff because it seems like if you didn't completely understand everything about salvation and God the moment you got baptized, then how could you call it? How could you really call yourself a disciple of Christ, or as we would put it, a Christian? And so you can really see that that's a great way to manipulate people because, I mean, I know right now I know a lot more about Christianity and God and the Bible than I did, you know, 30 years ago. Now, you mentioned something earlier. You talked about first principles. What is first principles? And, I mean, how is it used or taught or what is it?
Well, First Principles is a booklet. It's about 30-some pages. It was written by Kip McKean around 1980 when he was leading the Boston Church of Christ. It was and still is used by the ICOC, but it's used big time by the ICC. In our technology age, it's also available now online as a mobile app as well. But it's really important, like really, really important for ICC. It's the way that they teach the Bible and make disciples. So it's always used by every member of the church in trying to do evangelism. So just like the Mormons have their missionary lessons that are designed to produce converts, well, so also they have these lessons and they're very effective. So normally when you walk up, someone walks up to you and says, would you like to study the Bible with me? It usually means you're going to open up the Bible and study the Bible, look at something from Paul or Jesus or some other part of the Bible. Studying the Bible in the ICC means studying first principles. So when they come up to you on a campus and invite you to study the Bible, It's definitely going to be, it might start off being a passage for scripture, but they're definitely going to take you to study first principles after that. Each study is very carefully constructed to have its own purpose, but the big picture of the first principles is the lessons are to not only to make disciples, but to, as I said, to undermine and destroy the faith of the Christian, the Catholic, or church person studying these lessons. They're carefully designed to create a crisis where the person who's studying will come to realize that everything he's been taught in church their whole life is wrong, completely wrong. And they've been misled from the real teachings of the Bible.
So would this be more like would they view this more as kind of like a handbook to their church, or are they viewing this closely, maybe not exactly, but close to the, on the same line as scripture?
Well, it's definitely not scripture, but it's the authoritative book, and it's, you know, you can, you'll always turn there to find the beliefs, but this is the book that you're going to use to reach out to people. It's their evangelistic tool. Like I said, it's used to undermine your faith. And the crazy part is that there's no hint of the gospel at all until the fifth lesson, light and darkness.
Wow.
Yeah. They don't even mention the fact that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for the cross. None of that. If you're in a regular Christian Bible study, that's going to be page one, lesson 101. They're going to get right to the point about Christ, but they kind of take time to lead you into that. So it's the third lesson, the discipleship studies, where they show the person being studied that they're not really a disciple. In 1 hour in this study, they're able to make many people come to the conclusion that they're a false Christian, that they've been deceiving themselves their whole life and thinking that they're a Christian at all. The Baptist church that I've been going to has not really been teaching me the truth, and I've only been thinking that I was saved this whole time when I haven't been. And, this is the one of the studies where those who teach it always anticipate conflict before conducting it. They have to get ready because there's going to be a little pushback a lot of time. In a discipleship study, people who are nominally Christian at first argue with the disciple and try to say they're a disciple, but they're going to lay it on real hard and say, look, you're not a real disciple because are you sharing your faith daily? Are you a fisher of men like the Bible commands you to be? Yeah. Are you counting the cost? Are you completely committed? I mean, completely committed. Are you committing, practicing fornication, involved pornography? Do you have pure thoughts? Remember what Jesus said in Luke 14:33, that you have to be totally, totally committed. It's pretty heavy.
Yeah, it's it just kind of reminds me of Galatians and, you know, going back to that law and a legalistic way of living. And if you're not doing all these things perfect, then you're not really a Christian. You're not really someone who is a disciple, a true follower of Christ. Now, we're getting towards the end of our time. Are there any other areas from First Principles that are maybe exceptionally problematic or something that we should be looking for?
Well, there's a lot of false teaching peppered throughout First Principles, but another big moment, you know, in these weekly studies that you're going to do is in the fifth lesson, which is the light and darkness study. In this study, they learn how baptism is necessary for salvation, which is another big moment for the person studying with them. They've already created the doubt about the person's salvation at all in the discipleship study, and now they're showing how the Bible actually teaches that baptism is necessary for salvation. And furthermore, you have to understand that you're being saved at the moment of baptism, or else the baptism you're receiving is invalid. In the light and darkness study, you also learn how infant baptism is false, a man-made tradition, doctrine of original sin. But the more one of the most controversial parts of this whole study is that here is where the student is challenged to create a sin list. And this is where he or she is given a paper and a pen so they can write down a complete list of all their past and current sins. Mm. And this is supposed to create another crisis and then convict them of the seriousness of the sins. A lot of critics have said that these sin lists have been used against people in manipulative ways, but not probably in the days more of the ICOC than the ICC. But opening yourself up to new friends or almost strangers, the deepest, most intimate parts of your life has been really questioned by a lot of these people. Yeah.
Hey, real quick, do they keep that list of sins?
Well, you know, back in the ICOC days, people often accused people of saying, you know, the disciples are saying they did use it against people, but now there's a little note at the end of that lesson saying that this is supposed to be only for the people in this study.
Let me just, could you briefly tell us, what are the beliefs of the ICC?
Sure. So followers of Jesus are properly called disciples, not Christians. As I said, the word Christian, they'll point out, only appears three times in the New Testament, while the word disciple occurs more than 270 times. So they'll use that initially to shock you and say, look, you haven't even been taught right on what you should even be called. You've had a false conception. Your church hasn't even taught you the basics of the Bible. So they'll also teach that disciples are only those who are sold out and totally committed. Denominational Christians, they're lukewarm, they're tolerant of sin, even from the pulpits. ICOC talked about being totally committed, as we pointed out. ICC talks about being completely sold out. Every believer also needs a discipleship partner, Brady. They talk about DTs, discipleship times. They're to talk to their disciple regularly and confess their deepest, darkest secrets and sins. Be completely transparent. That's their way of trying to draw close to God by having that accountability. Baptism also is, as he said, is necessary for salvation. You go under the water as an unbeliever. You come up as a believer. And this is where one contacts the blood. It's an old Church of Christ term, actually. You contact the blood in baptism, not by praying Jesus into your heart or receiving Christ, as the denominational world will tell you. The ICC is the one true church, Kip says. Kip says the ICC is the one only true church, but there are other disciples outside of it. So, you know, a member might say in the ICC, well, I'm sure there are other Christians outside the ICC, but I've never met one. So they definitely have that sense of elitism, that they're the one true church. The church is the kingdom of God, they teach, and the kingdom of God is the church. They're interchangeable terms. That's a big theological mistake, because in our view, the kingdom of God is God's redemptive rule wherever God is working. It's not just limited to the visible church. The church began on Pentecost. This is a debatable term, but it definitely comes out of the Campbellites, the mainline Church of Christ, restorationist churches. The church's mission is to evangelize the world in one generation. They would say the ICOC has lost this dream. That's why we had to start the ICC. They kind of had that vision under Kip's leadership, but now they've kind of gotten lukewarm. So we got to come and do a restoration again. So churches, another thing they're big on is the churches should not be run autonomously, but they should be operated under centralized leadership. And guess who that is? Kip McKean. Big point in their sold out discipling movement's core convictions list they publish. They also teach in order to be saved, you have to share your faith. You've got to be a fisher of men. That's pointed out in the discipleship study. Campuses are the most important place to evangelize, according to Kip McKean in his book, Disciples on Campus. Evangelism is to be done with first principles, as we pointed out. And it's a very similar structure of the church to the ICOC, where they talk about evangelists, world sector leaders, world missions evangelists. Another interesting thing is following the mandate of Acts 1:8, where Jesus says, "You will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." They spiritualize this and see Los Angeles now as a type of spiritual Jerusalem. The cities of Las Vegas, Phoenix, Sacramento, San Diego, San Francisco, and modern-day Judea, while Samaria is seen as the rest of the United States and Canada, cities like Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Toronto, and so on. Lastly, I'd say what they believe, they deny original sin, which is kind of unique because outside the restorationists, Christians for 2,000 years have held strongly to that as an essential doctrine, and to deny it is heresy. Yep.
This is so much deeper than what you get at the surface.
Yeah, so it's a big fusion of a few things, of the Campbellite mainstream, mainline Church of Christ, the ICOC, and a few of Kip's ideas that he picked up from Chuck Lucas. So it's a little mix of all that stuff.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I want to tell you, I'd like to ask you to listen to a clip. When we sent out the email with the profile that you did on the ICC, we included something that Kip had been recorded saying many years ago, in fact, back when he was in Boston. And so I'd like to play the clip for you and just give me your thoughts on it.
Number one, I challenge you to say, "I love Boston." Secondly, I challenge you to be able to say, "I love Boston Church." But if you can't say the first two, then you'll never be able to say the third thing. I love God.
Okay, Steve, now this is an old clip, but what would you say to that?
I think that's more designed for people looking from perspective coming from inside the church as opposed to outside the church. They wouldn't go up to people on the street and say, "If you don't love Boston, then you're not a true disciple." They would more say that if you're already in the church, you got to really be obedient to the leadership, which definitely shows the authority and the control the leadership has over the disciple in the church.
Wow, good deal. Steve, I have absolutely enjoyed our conversation, but I have a lot of questions I still want to ask you about this group. Would you hang on with us for a part two?
Absolutely. Let's do it again.
All right. Well, let's do that. On behalf of Apologetics Profile, I am Brady Blevins. I want to thank you so much for listening this week, and I look forward to picking up in part two of our discussion on the ICC next week.
Watchman Fellowship offers the Profile Notebook, a comprehensive resource packed with over 500 pages of information on other religions, cults, New Age spirituality, and a host of other non-Christian movements and ideas. Each profile consists of 4 pages and offers comprehensive insights between the truth of the Christian faith and these other religions and belief systems. Be sure to check out some of the samples of the Profile Notebook at Watchman.org today.